Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you all enjoy that game as much as I did? National television. Statement made. This team is here. Kings have arrived. They're legitimately the best team in the National Hockey League right now, the way they're playing. It's fact. Oh, I wanted that shutout so bad. Oh, man. That would have felt so good. I'll take it. 4-1. I mean, the fact that Kopi gets his 400th to kind of ease the pain of losing that shutout, right? It's kind of what it felt like. That would have been nice, though. That would have been nice. But, man, I have to say, that was, besides the goal that was scored, I don't know what would happen. I want to talk about, we'll talk about the Dubois line in a second here, but besides that play, that was one of the most responsible, accountable, intelligent regular season games I've ever seen the Kings play. Considering the opponent and the location and the circumstance of national television. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kings are here. This isn't a fluke. I mean, when was the last time you remember watching the Kings play? And anytime you see a player on the ice, or whatever line you see on the ice, whatever defensive pair you see on the ice, I feel good. I feel confident. I feel comfortable. How many times did we see Blake Lizotte, Trevor Lewis, and Carl Grundstrom on the ice with like 6 minutes left in the third period? Late in the game. 3-1. It's a relatively close game. You never know what could happen. Lizotte. One of the best fourth line centers in the game, but doesn't get the recognition because he plays in LA. Mikey Anderson. Can we talk about him? Did you see that little odd man rush that he just swatted away like it was nothing? And then picks the puck up in the corner, picks it off of, I think that was Eichel in the corner. Starts to rush the other way, and then they get a full like 30-second offensive zone shift. Future captain? Maybe. Dude, that first line though, Kopitar, Kempe, Byfield. Ooh boy. Ooh boy. Juice. The juice was flowing tonight. The juice was flowing tonight. I don't know what it is about Kempe playing in Vegas, but I think he loves the spotlight maybe. Maybe he likes the shining lights, but he seems to just go off whenever he's in Vegas. I mean, I don't know who the three stars were, but Juice had to be at least one of them the way he played tonight. Byfield, instrumental on that first goal. I know he didn't get a point for it. Deserved the plus. And Kopi, number 400, rocking the net guard. Oh, he's nasty. He's nasty with it. I love it. Man, this team, whoo, I'm pumped. I'm pumped. It's just like, it's like, oh man, if we could get a full season of this, I mean, the division should be available for this team. I don't want to speak, get too far ahead of ourselves. All right, hold on. Stop. I'm forgetting Cam Talbot. What am I thinking? Are you serious? $1 million? What was his bonus today? Can we double it? Should we triple it? Quadruple it? Dude. It's like, it's weird because, like, this team is playing so well. I mean, we're talking about all four lines. We're talking about Kopitar. We're talking about Mikey Anderson. We're talking about Drew Doughty. Well, how many shots did – or how many saves did Cam Talbot have today? I don't know the actual count. I could look it up, but it was, like, I at least like close to 35, right? Ho-hum. I just – don't. Just get a little worried, you know? His age, tread on the tires. But I asked McClellan the other day, kind of like pointing to, because that was the day that Talbot rested for the practice, right? He wasn't even there. And I asked him, like, is that decision kind of based off of, like, the coaching staff or is sports and conditioning, sports science kind of get into that a little bit? And he had mentioned, like, some of the stuff that sports science, they kind of interact with them a lot. And I've read a lot of stuff about it, especially with the NHL edge stuff. A lot of the NHL edge stuff is actually based off of sports science and it doesn't even pertain to like stats. It actually helps out with the players in terms of their usage, right? And especially for goalies, there's a little chip that they wear and it even measures each time they go up and down during practice. So I don't know, maybe the advancements can help out Talbot this season, make him play a little bit longer. But man, the way he's playing right now, just I feel confident with him in net. Right? I mean, I'm sure, right? Phoenix Copley gets the game tomorrow. I think we're all probably okay with that. But Talbot's looking good. And I would feel really good if Copley had a good game tomorrow. That would put a lot of question marks to rest, right? Cam Talbot's He's still going to have – he's playing really well. He's second star last week, consistently keeping it up. But, I mean, he's still going to have those question marks about his longevity. But if Copley can come in and kind of ease the pain of that backup role in some of those games he's had earlier in the season, I'd be feeling a lot better. But, man, just this game real quick. Oh, man, I know I'll get to you guys. Oh, feels so good to beat the Golden Knights on national TV. That felt good. And it's not even because of the rivalry. Like, I don't even really consider the Golden Knights so much of a rival. Like, to be honest with you, I think the Oilers are more of a rival. And I even grew up more hating the Ducks than anybody else. I grew up in Orange County, so the Ducks are right next to me. But I grew up hating the Ducks, and I still, quote-unquote, kind of hate them. I don't hate them, but you know what I mean. But, I mean, just considering the circumstance, Stanley Cup champs, national television in Vegas, that's a statement win right there. And the way they did it, besides that one goal, the way they did it, the third period was shut down hockey. Love it. Felt good. Let's get to a couple of you guys. Ian. Sees you connecting. What's up, Ian? You there? All right, looks like you're still
Hello?
Muted.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, he's there. What's up?
Hello. In conclusion,
what's up, buddy?
I have a massive boner right now. But all seriousness, though,
coming in hot, okay.
Bro, this game was sexy.
Talk to me.
Dude.
Right?
I don't even know what to say. Well, I'm happy we didn't embarrass ourselves on national TV. Like the Lakers.
Dude, they did the opposite of that. It was more or less, I mean... I don't want to use the word embarrassment, but I mean, if it was a shutout, that's why I wanted that shutout so bad. If it was a shutout, it would have been an embarrassment to the Golden Knights on national TV. But hey, I'll take the 4-1 dub.
And Talbot, man, he's been on fire. Talbot's been
right,
dude. I don't even know about, like, everyone was, like, making fun of us when he signed him and shit, but he's just proving all the haters wrong right now.
He's proving all the haters wrong. He's proving wrong all those haters, but Rob Blake is proving a lot of people wrong right now, too. I mean, because those are the question marks that everybody had, and it was his decision to bring in Talbot. Talbot's been good in his career. It's not like he just found some random goalie off the shelf. I mean, this is a goalie that's been in the league for a while, and sure, he's had some bad years these last couple years, but, I mean, look at the teams he was playing on.
Yeah.
Now he's on a good team, like the teams that McClellan used to coach in Edmonton. Those teams are pretty good.
Yeah.
Now he's on a good team again, and look at the way he's playing.
Yeah.
That's how it works, right?
Dude, this win was so satisfying, like, every fashion.
Mm-hmm.
It just...
Everything. Top to bottom.
I wish we got... That was the only downside is I wish we got that shutout, but, like, I can't find nothing wrong about this game. I really can't. Like, I mean, maybe there's, like, little mistakes.
I want to ask you one question, then I want to get to some more people because there's a couple people that want to talk today.
I know.
I'm going to start to try to get some more people, but I want to ask you a question and have you answer it, and then I'm going to answer it. But what do you think of the Dubois line?
I don't know. I mean, he's kind of, he's not showing up to that contract yet. He's like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a big contract and he's not showing, he's not making the contract with it.
Are high, right?
Yeah, his expectations are high. And he's not really showing it, but hopefully as the season goes along, he basically shows that contract, like, basically lives up to that contract that he signed. So,
okay,
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. But he's not
tearing it up,
amazing.
Right?
Like, he's not, like, just blowing me out of the water now, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
Yeah, but...
All right, yeah, well, I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, I'll hop off here so I can let other people talk.
Yeah, appreciate you, bud. Have a good one.
You too.
Dude, I mean, the thing is, I've seen a lot of the conversation around the Dubois line, and I'll be honest. Hasn't been great. I don't think it's been bad. There's been moments, yeah, kind of question marks. But, I mean, I thought some of his game tonight was pretty good. Eddie Olczyk even did, like, a little run around about his decision to carry the puck or kind of dump the puck into the zone and kind of eat time a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, that's a goal. You would like to see more, but – so I get that part. And I'm – obviously was a big proponent of the trade. I love the trade. I'd do it 100 times over again because I think his presence alone in the lineup has solidified that spine of the LA Kings, right? I mean, they were talking about center depth, like how it matches up so well against the Golden Knights. And even just his presence, I mean, that's a big body to just kind of throw out there. And you just hope they get in sync a little bit more. I'm starting to see, like, as much as I'm, like, a big, like, LeFerrier fan, I'm starting to see those rookie moments come into play a little bit more. Also, too, you have to remember, we've been seeing this team just play on the road the last few games. So they head back home, get last change. Get better matchups for those players that probably need it, like a Fiala, LeFerrier, the ones that maybe a little less skilled in the defensive zone, if you know what I mean. Get better matchups and maybe better offensive opportunities. We'll see what happens. Leib, what's up, bud? Get you in here.
Hey, what's
up? Hey, Jim.
How's it going?
It's going well.
Pretty thick game. Pretty sick right. game. I was really rooting for Talbot there, but you know what? Yeah, amazing game. Amazing game by him. He was just everywhere the puck was going to be, way before it was there. Mm-hmm. Exactly how you want to see him play. Like, economical, not flailing around, just right in front of
him. It was like, it felt like every, like, especially like every point shot that, like, you, like last season, the beginning of the year, it's like you see a shot get taken and just like, I'd cringe a little bit, like thinking like, oh crap, like what's going to happen
yeah.
here? But, like, now I watch, like, a shot get taken by Petrangelo or whoever, and I'm like, huh, Taubes is back there.
Yeah, even that high slot shot from Carlson that ended up beating him, he was in the right place. Carlson just picked a corner.
Oh, that was his
He couldn't get out fast
high
enough.
Slot.
that's going to happen sometimes. But he's playing out of his mind. Spence had his best game as a King.
Dude.
Not even close.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you mentioned Spence because, dude, I mean, those first two assists that he had.
Yeah.
And they were talking about him a lot and about his shot. And I don't know if anybody had seen it, but, like, Clark, he had mentioned it in that mic'd up episode during development camp. And he always talked about how Spence always won that, like, hardest shot drill that they had. And we saw it.
Yeah, and we haven't seen that much. Like, even when he has been taking shots, they haven't been that great.
And that's the thing, too. Like, I mentioned earlier when I was talking, when I started, is, like, how comfortable they felt with, like, the Lazat line late in the game. Yeah. I mean, I saw Spence and England out there a couple times, too. So
that's
McClellan just kind of trusting his guys.
Yeah, that Lazat line, going back now three or four games, they keep getting, because they were on the road, they keep getting matched up against the other team's top line every time the other team gets an opportunity. And three out of those four games, I don't know about tonight, but three out of those four games, they outpossessed the other team's top line in their minutes against them.
How crazy.
It's nuts.
How crazy is that? The team thinks that they're just going to get an easy matchup against the fourth line, and they're getting dominated.
Unfortunately, Vegas realized what the real easy matchup was a couple of times, but.
I mean, you start thinking, like, maybe Dubois is going to get those tough matchups. Maybe that's what we'll see.
Vegas did that.
But, I mean, like, at home, I think it'll change. Obviously, I think it'll change, but, but it's like when you have like a fourth line who's that reliable,
unreal.
Like, what are you gonna do? Like, even for like a top six, like, okay, you put your first line against the Dubois line because you think that's a better matchup. What are you gonna do with the other top six line? You can put them out there against Lazat. You can put them up against Deneau or Kopitar.
Yeah, and you're gonna take them off the defensive responsibility of Kopitar's line because Kopitar's line
100%, because you're gonna put up your fourth line against the Kopitar line, like. Like, we saw that happen, I think, a couple times in Toronto, where they were trying to figure out something to put because their fourth line and their third pair is atrocious. Some of the worst in the hockey. You want to put Ryan Reeves out there against Phil Deneau?
Unreal.
Dude, Trevor Moore's going to make mincemeat out of him.
Dude, they, that top line, like, I know we're starting to sort of, like, forget that how good they are. I think this was their best game, too. And there were a couple of times in the second that they did get pinned because there were some change issues. But just the number of times that they toyed with whoever Vegas threw at them was crazy. It was so cool to see.
And see if you agree with me on this one, but like when Quinton Byfield, his handling of the puck, like I can't remember the last time where I've seen Quinton Byfield handle the puck and it like flubbed off his stick like we saw a couple times earlier in his career. Have you kind of noticed his stick
handling? Yeah, his stick handling and his footing. Like, he's not Bambi.
Yeah.
Like, everything's just connected now. It's really cool to see.
He's looking more and more like a complete player. Like, he's putting, like, all those, like, traits that we had heard about him when he was drafted. His size, his speed, his puck handling, his playmaking. All that is starting to, like, come together. He's like fucking Thanos, like, collecting all of his stones and, like, putting them on his gauntlet, like, right now. It's crazy the amount of skill he's showing. Cause,
imagine when he gets the shooting one. Holy shit.
Dude, I know. Once he gets his shot down,
he looks like an adult. That'll be next level. That's what he looks like now. He looks like an adult in an adult league. And that wasn't the case last year.
He looks so comfortable, right? Crazy. Just every time he's on the ice. It's not even about his confidence. It's just the comfortability now. It's like, yeah, you can go out there and be confident, but it's like, hey, I've been playing around Jack Eichel a couple of times. I'm fine. Mark Stone wants to body me. Like, that's totally fine. We started to see him throw his weight a little bit around, too. I saw a couple hips from
him. Yeah, I'm crediting him with three tertiary assists tonight, even though those don't exist.
It was tough. I mean, I think he got one, though, off the empty netter, right? So he extended that
assist. I don't think he actually did. I don't know. I'll check. We'll check. That was my third tertiary assist, because I don't think he actually got it, but I don't know.
He did get an assist on the last one. Yeah, so he extended the assist streak, too. I mean, you just go up and down the line. Like, look at the goals, like Kempe, Kopitar, Spence, Trevor Moore, Deneau, and Spence, Dubois, Kempe, and Fiala, and then Kopitar with Byfield. Like, just so, like, down the line.
Crazy. The fourth line didn't score for once. They had an amazing game. But, like, the first games of the season, there was a very weird scoring disparity between the bottom and the top of the lineup. And that's disappearing because PLD got on the board. Kempe started scoring. Kopi was always kind of scoring, but now he's scoring more. And
it'd been like Carl Grundstrom.
Yeah, it was a lot of Grundstrom and Lewis and Moore and even Lizotte's, you know, chipped in a couple, and Deno still hasn't really, but we won't talk about that.
But I don't know how many assists Deno has.
I know.
It seems like every time Moore scores, it's because right of Phil Deno.
That line, I don't care. Like, I don't care how the points are distributed. I don't care in general how the points are distributed. But it's nice to see the top six clicking a little bit more.
Yeah, so I want to ask you a question, and then I'm going to do the same thing I did to Ian, and then I'm going to move on to the next person. So Victor Arvidsson comes back. What do you do?
Part of me, wonders if it's
real quick. I don't know what the timetable is. It could be a long time. It could be a short time. Who knows? But I did actually see Arvidsson at practice, kind of just watching practice. So he was around the facility. So he's
He's on his feet.
He's on his feet. So I don't know what the timetable is.
Of me wonders if he even gets a chance to come back before the Kings make a trade with his cap hit.
Okay.
So
I think they're just kind of waiting for that moment.
But he's the most movable contract on this team because he's not coming back.
So you think they just trade him? They don't bring him back on the team at all?
I think it's very possible. Again, it depends on if he's being traded to a team that wants a piece that's going to work for them now, maybe he has to wait until he comes back. If he's just part of the salary dump, then maybe not.
Let me change the question for you then. Let's say that Rob Blake figures out a way to fit him in the salary cap and he's in the lineup. What's that decision?
Then the decision, I think, really comes down to Kaliev. I don't know. It's an incomplete question because we love what Laferriere is bringing, but we don't know what that line is at 5-on-5. And I think a lot of it comes down to that because Laferriere could be a very useful fourth line forward for a while. Like, we don't want him there forever, but his game lends itself very well to fourth line minutes.
Yeah.
So if you move Kaliev up and then you move Arvidsson back into the ninth line and then you move Laferriere down, I think that works.
Okay. I see it. Then you're taking out Grundstrom or Lewis?
No, I take out Lewis. I don't care who's on there outside.
Lewis. Okay. All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate you hopping on here. I'm gonna hop onto the next person here.
Thanks.
Have a good one, buddy.
Take care.
Oh, is this the Rink Lords? Let's hop you in here. Rink Lords. Is this Connor?
Holy smokes. Russ, what a game.
What's up?
Is that this Connor?
This is Connor. What's up, man?
Wow. When's the last time you have seen not one, the Kings win on a national televised game? And then I did miss your first, 30 minutes because I really wanted to hear, Anson Carter, Lundqvist, just talk about these guys. Maybe I missed this, but is anyone else not talking about that this is probably the best game that we've seen Jordan Spence? You guys covered that?
So we touched on actually a little bit, but, dude, I'd love to talk about Spenny some more because – I mean, we talked about his shot and how much we've seen it, but I mean, I think his overall game is just improving game by game, night by night.
I think you and I maybe touched about this one of the last games, but I mean, obviously he's not Cale Makar, but is there another guy on this team that has that lateral movement across the blue line? He just gets... I was just saying that, there's no other King's Demon that can move that laterally, and he gets in just dangerous areas so feasibly, even against top guys. Like, he's not phased, and that's what we learned about him in Ontario. He just doesn't get phased at the level he's at, and just being able to move that laterally, that takes some cojones,
dude. His footwork is special, out there.
Absolutely.
His ability to move the puck on the blue line is insane. But it's funny because I was thinking during the game when he was making some pretty good plays, I'm thinking this isn't even our secret weapon yet. He's Brent Clark still in the AHL, just kind of toying with him down
there.
That's true. And he's just, which is totally fine, by the way. I'm totally fine. Give Clarkie as much time as he needs in the AHL. Spenny is playing really well. Keep Spence up here. Give him time. Obviously, Roy is around for one more year. We'll see what happens. I want him to stay, but who knows? And then you just give Clark that full year of pro hockey just to kind of get used to it. So that way, when he does maybe make his arrival, or maybe he comes in the playoffs. Who knows?
Yeah.
But if he does make his arrival,
Yeah, and I
then he's ready
to add on to like kind of what Liberty, like the question you had for Leib. Honestly, I love the guy, but I think when it comes to crunch time down the stretch, when teams really tighten things up down the stretch, I gotta say that Laferriere being on no waivers, you just put Arvidsson back in the lineup and imagine that line with Dubois with a righty, with an established righty. It's nothing, no knock against Laferriere, but I'm not taking Lewis off the PK. That fourth line is clicking. Like you said, that's probably arguably the best fourth line in hockey. And then you add Arvidsson to this lineup and then you put that righty on the number one unit. I'm going to take that playoff experience. I mean, he was a horse for Nashville, mm-hmm. obviously years ago, but it's nothing against Laferriere. It's not getting like he's getting moved down to Ontario as like a demotion for his poor play. It's just, I want to establish playoff presence and it's only going to get tougher down the stretch. And the Kings power play, as we know, like the top unit took multiple rounds this game where the second unit would start out. It's not like they're not clicking, but the second unit just has a lot of options. And like you said, QB's really grown, but imagine that Arvidsson back on that top unit, having a righty, moving Dubois back down to the second unit. I mean, I'd rather have Arvidsson in the lineup. It's nothing against Laferriere. It's just, I want established talent that has gone the rounds, played deep into a season. It's not a knock on Laferriere. It's just, I can only imagine what that line looks like with Fiala, Arvidsson, who have chemistry with Dubois. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Dude, I 100% agree with you. I mean, obviously, I've been like such a big fan of Laferriere since he came in, and like his play, like I think it's been great. I mentioned, like, I think when I first started, like, we're starting to see those rookie moments come into play a little bit. Like, just not like bad decisions, but like, just like, okay, maybe do this instead or that. We're starting to see those come into his game a little bit. And like, the reason why I think it's not like the worst decision for Laferriere is because he wasn't supposed to be here. This is like a total surprise, right? Like, his play in the preseason and in the rookie tournament, like going back to that, is what propelled him to be in this situation. And he's still, this is a rookie. He's like, this literal just stopped, like hopped off college, like moved out of Harvard and all of a sudden to LA. And now he's playing pro hockey, like in the NHL. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So, dude, if you add Victor Arvidsson, like I think Victor Arvidsson is one of the more, like he's really underrated defensively. And I think if you add him to that Dubois line, he helps with a lot of maybe decision. And I'd be curious to see, I don't know if they play a lot together, but I'd be curious to see how Arvidsson and Fiala mesh, because obviously they've been teammates for a long time going back to Nashville. I have to look back because they played a lot together last year. But yeah, like you mentioned, Arvidsson back on that top unit for the power play, that would be
my pick.
That's kind of what they're missing.
Look at them. They're like, I'm pretty sure they're like middle of the pack at the power play. And that's kind of what not carried them, but they were just exceptional last year. And I think, I mean, I don't always follow Jay Fresh models, but they're so close to like not overplaying out of their skin, not underplaying out of skin, because they're like middle of the pack on the power play. They're really good on the PK this year, but it's not like they're relying on the power play. Oilers, but it's just they've been so consistent 5-on, and most of that game was played 5-on-5 until that really odd penalty that was called on Fiala, which I still kind of confused. Yeah. It was like skate on skate, yeah. But and it's funny because I was really telling my guys here at the watch party that it was just Fiala is one of those guys that you allow to take those bad penalties because there's not a more like dynamic 5-on-5 play driver. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had 2-on-1 that he stopped up. Didn't shoot past the hash marks and waited for that Dubois wide open look. There's not, I mean, maybe Kopi pulls that move, but there's not many players that are going to pull that move with that much patience.
Dude, you're totally right. I mean, you live and die by Fiala. Like, that's what it is. And he takes, like, that penalty on him was totally terrible. It was awful. I'm glad Jim Fox even tweeted about it.
Oh, yeah.
But it was terrible. But he also drew, I mean, he kind of drew Marchessault into it. He kind of goaded one into Marchessault.
Why did they call that earlier, though? He's like cross-checking him and smothering him.
I know.
And then also, Russ, like one of the questions I was going to ask you is that I don't like to crap on TNT too much, but TNT, like I like Eddie O, but near the end there, he was like, yeah, well, you know, the Kings were doing well, but they've had a soft schedule. I'm like, they've played Vegas twice.
I know,
they've played Colorado. They've played Carolina. They've played Boston. I was like, where is that soft?
Yeah, no, I heard that comment. I was like, weren't they just rated like the highest, like our worst strength of schedule at like the first few like 5 or 6 games or so?
Yeah,
like and they're what 6-7-0 on the road?
Yeah,
just because they're like no game in the NHL should be like a gimme, except maybe like the Sharks, but like no game in the NHL or even the Oilers are right. But yeah, they're all pretty tough games, especially the early part of the season when everybody's healthy, they're kind of getting going. I mean, I thought you think of like that win in Toronto. It's like they weren't just wins. They've been dominating wins. That's the thing too. We're not just beating these teams. They're beating these teams.
I would go
5-0.
I would go out on 4-1. I would go out on a limb and say that all three games they played on the road trip were somewhat shutout worthy outside of like the Tim Stutzla flop. I mean, the death grip behind the net for Batherson on Matt Roy that hit Kopi in the face following that. Like, they've played shutout-worthy hockey. And you already mentioned it with the bonus. Pay Talbot. The guy has been absolutely lights out. He made some high-danger looks. I mean, I think he's faced, like, one of the highest, like, or the lowest, like, low-danger, like, shots per game. But, I mean, that's where he grooves. That's where he works in Todd McKellen's system. He is a low danger guy that if he sees a lot of low danger looks, he's going to be exceptional. And that's the Kings system to a T. So
100%. That's exactly why they were able to bring in a goalie like Talbot and feel okay. Like Rob Blake was like, yeah, it's fine. I'll get a veteran guy, a guy who's experienced, who's been there before, especially who's played with McClellan before too. Like, I think that's huge to have that kind of relationship with the coach to kind of just know what he feels and how the goalie feels too. So, but I love, like, Talbot's integrated into his team, like, so well so far. Like, he seems like such a locker room guy. You see the celebrations. I don't know if they've sent one out today, but it's just, like, I even asked Kopitar about it the other day, and he didn't – I asked him who came up with it. He was playing a little coy. He wouldn't tell me, but he said it's just kind of – they've progressed over it. But it just certainly feels like Gavrikov is in there. And that's one thing, too, is, like, you think about how this team has been built. It's been like they preach culture, and it's been all these guys that are just so integrated within each other in terms of like relationships and like bonding and communication. They just feel like the communication is there. Like, we saw Drew Doughty take that block shot, and who comes out there to give him the tap on the shin? It's Cam Talbot, like the new guy, right? So we're seeing this team being built by guys that are not just like good players on the ice, but just fit in so well in the locker room. And that's why you see players like maybe like Brendan Lemieux gets traded away, and everyone's wondering like, what are you doing that? Why Zach MacEwen comes in? But it's like they're focusing on guys that are helping this locker room grow together, and it's showing off on the ice. That's what I'm saying.
No, absolutely. And I think I can't remember which one of these Kings fans in here just posted that picture of like QB and Dubois having matching bracelets, and then we saw that after practice, like Spence messing around with Lafiere and. It's like, I don't remember the last time I've seen these guys like this gelled. It's just great. And I hope somewhere right now in Vegas, probably hopping on the bus or the plane, is Rob Blake cracking open a cold one with a shit-eating grin on his face for like, well, can you believe most of the league was like, well, the goaltending's going to be a problem. And you know what? I still think that, you know, we haven't seen the best from Copley yet. He's had a couple of rough starts, but what is he? Played only in two games? We have yet to see, and he's going to give you like average stuff, like league average goaltending, and that's fine. You need that from a backup, but I'm just very happy with this team. Lost for words. I'll give the mic to someone else. I'll see you Saturday, Russ.
All right, buddy. See you, buddy.
Sounds good.
Have a good one. You too. Love it. Let's keep it. Oh, I see Richard been waiting. Richard, I know you've been waiting, my man. What's up, buddy? Mic is yours. You there? What's up, Richard? How you doing, man?
What's up, Rose? How you been?
I've been good.
You know, this is...
What did you think of the game
today? I think this fucking game was fucking fantastic because I hate Vegas. And I wanted revenge. I said it earlier. I wanted revenge. I wanted Kobe to get his 400th goal, and I got both. So it feels like Christmas already.
I'm going to ask you this because I feel like you're a good person to ask this. Who do you... I'll give you multiple choice. I'm going to give you... multiple choice. So I'm gonna give you three options.
All right.
Who do you think's the Kings' biggest rival right now? Is it Vegas, Anaheim, or Edmonton?
I'm gonna say Edmonton just because of the playoff history.
Okay. And I think a lot of people would agree.
So I would too. They're my number one hated rival right now. I really, really hate them, but I'm really like laughing at them right now because they're garbage, and it'd be hilarious if they actually miss the playoffs entirely. And see, if they miss the playoffs, and then we end up playing Vegas in the playoffs, and we beat them, for me that's like a Stanley Cup victory almost for me. So I'm like that would be great. But I mean, I do want a rematch.
You want a rematch? I know, I feel you, but I know, but I think about that too. Like we're. We're only 15 games into the season.
Of course, it's kind of early right now.
But
yeah.
But that thought of like, if Edmonton actually misses the playoffs, would be insane.
It'd be great.
Not even like objectively, it would just be like hilarious, right? Objectively, like not even from a Kings fan, like an outside NHL fan, like, dude, you have two of the best players in the NHL, and you can. I think a lot of their decisions in terms of management, some of the players they've brought in haven't meshed very well, and some of, I mean, obviously they just can't make a save too. But yeah, I mean, you have two of the best players in the league, and you don't make the playoffs. Still early. I wouldn't be counting against them missing the playoffs, but it's
of course
it's interesting.
I mean, it's funny because I would like to see the reaction of their fan base because how toxic and crazy they can be. Like, if they get crazy over, like, you know, regular stuff, if they miss the playoffs, who knows what kind of stuff we're going to hear, like, from the media.
Oh, man.
And from the fan base out there.
I'm surprised Woodcroft didn't get fired after that game.
Well,
in Vancouver.
I'm pretty sure that by Thanksgiving, if the record is still below 500, he's going to get fired before then. Yeah. For sure.
I think it could be that they're trying to find somebody, because it's like you can't just, I don't know how many teams just have a coach just ready on standby. And I know they have actually their assistant coach, I think it's Gulatin? Could be saying that wrong. I think he's on their bench too, but dude, I don't know about the Oilers. But let's get back to the Kings. Let's focus on the Kings.
Yeah, let's focus on the Kings, yeah.
Who is your MVP tonight?
Oh, who's man, that for me, that's kind of tough. Okay, who's yours?
Mine was Kempe. I just
think
anytime he's in Vegas,
he scores.
The lights are on. He scores. Did he score? He didn't score tonight. He just had the two assists. No, he scored. That's right. He did.
He had a goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
He started scoring. Yeah. He did.
Sorry. Totally wrong.
Yeah.
Yes. Anytime he's in Vegas, it just seems like he's on fire, right?
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you. And to add to that, also that play at the very end, like when we were when they pulled their goaltender and he did that stick move when he blocked that one shot or pass and it went up in the air and it caused a face off, like towards the very end, like because Vegas trying to keep it in play. That right there shows that he can play both sides of the puck, not just scoring. 100%. And he showed it tonight because he made a lot of good blocks. He stole the puck a lot and he won a lot of wall battles too. So I like where his game is going and he's only getting better. And to add to that, Byfield too has looked impressive. I think he should add like 3 points in this game as well.
Right.
For the stuff that he was doing.
So that play he had, I'm going to go back and find the entire shift from that first goal, because that shift just was, like, incredible leading up to that first goal.
It was great.
Byfield was everywhere.
But, it was great.
I mean, to talk about Kempe, that's the thing. Is like, this year, we're seeing – and we saw a glimpse of it toward the end of last year. We're seeing him turn into this, like, complete player. He's not even known as a sniper anymore. He's just this all-around, like, pure scorer. Like – and slash defender. Like, he's turning into this two-way forward that can score at will with the shot he has. What does he have? Eight, nine assists on the season already?
Yeah.
How many he had last year? Like, 30, 20, 25? I don't remember. But, dude, I mean, some of the plays that we're seeing Kempe make, that dangle he made to give
the
penalty. Yeah.
He was lower the place. And that's the cool thing. We're seeing the evolution go from a guy who's known as a sniper to a complete player that can actually make plays and get assists as well as getting 30 goals or 40 as well. I think he could do both. And on top of that, I'm really happy also that PLD scored tonight, because a lot of people have been kind of down on him lately. And for me, it's like, man, like, leave him alone. Like, he's gonna get better. It's kind of early right now. And like what you said earlier, like about the plays that he does away from the puck, besides the scoring, like, he wins a lot of wall battles. Like tonight, he blocks shots and he pushes 2-3 guys when they jump him, like, easily. And he still has puck possession and he makes plays still. So there's, you know, like, I'm like, he's doing great. Like, you know, obviously he could do better production wise, but for me, like, he's great. I like what he's doing right now. And he's only going to get better. I think so too.
For
sure.
He grows with this team. I think,
of course,
I'm curious to see how he plays tomorrow, because I want to see him with those home matchups. You get the last change, you get better matchups for him. We talked about that a little bit earlier, but yeah, we haven't seen bad Dubois. We haven't seen him play bad at all. I think any game, there's been moments where I questioned, say, like, okay, maybe be a little bit better here, but I think we've also seen him play really well. Like, I thought tonight he had a pretty good game. I thought he had a pretty good game. Yeah, he had the goal. And then he had that, yeah, like I mentioned earlier, he had those that dump in and where he's just kind of controlling play. We want to see more of that. Just be on the puck. Yeah, I want to see Dubois be a centerman who wants the puck. Your big body, you
drive the net.
We've seen him literally hold a guy off with one hand and score.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Do more of that. Do more of that.
Yeah, drive it to the net, make plays, you know, win the battles, and just make shit happen. That's all you got to do, really. And the other thing I was gonna ask you is like you guys, you mentioned earlier, like Arvis is not even a lineup right now. And then of course you have Clark down there. Like, if we're running on 8 cylinders right now with this team, can you imagine how much better like they can get with experience? You know, obviously like Spence as well. And then you have like Clark down there, and then you have Arvidsson back. Like, it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah,
it's already crazy right now.
Mm-hmm. Just getting started. I think this was like this was the Kings coming out party to national television. They were like, hey, like we're a legitimate Stanley Cup contender right now. Like, if not one of the best teams in the league at the moment.
That has to be a top three team. Do you think that's the reason why the Kings were giving 16 national games like this season, which is the most I've heard of, because usually we get like 3, maybe 5, but we have 16 this season.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
That's the most I've seen in a while.
I think it's going to be, I mean, they're playing good hockey. Maybe we'll see some. We'll see them make more opponents' fans boo on national TV.
That was fun during that Canadian road trip.
Definitely. All right, Richard, I appreciate you hopping on here. I'm going to get over to – we got a couple more people that want to talk.
All right, thanks, Russ. Thanks for having me. Have a good one, man.
You too, bud. Have a good night, man.
Thank you.
This space was downloaded via spacesdown.com. Visit to download your spaces today.
Oh, got to get my boy Jason in here. Jason. Then I'm going to do a couple more. After Jason, what's up? You there?
What's up,
Jason? What's up, man? For those who don't know, Jason contributes to Hockey Royalty. He goes to some of the practices. He actually got a Quentin Byfield broken stick. Is that what you sent me?
Him and LeFerrier.
What, they both break it on the ice?
Yeah, they both broke it, and then Laugh brought me both.
That's sick. I saw it's funny. I saw him after practice the other day, and they were just like wiring passes back and forth.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Dude, are they like trying to break their sticks? What's going on?"
That's how LeFerrier's broke yesterday.
Exactly. I was like, "What are you guys doing? Just breaking $250 twigs like it's nothing." What'd you think of the game tonight?
Fantastic,
right?
Playoff energy.
Love it.
I mean, it's
like that. Like, that kind of like it felt like I mentioned, like I was like really excited going to this game, like unreasonably for a November game, but it had that like energy. The Kings have been playing so well, like this was their chance to kind of show off on like national television, and they didn't let us down.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. It was tight in the first two. Second, we pull ahead and then shut the door in the third. Talbot was amazing again.
That third period, like I want to go back and watch that third period, the first like 10 minutes or so. But I mean, even after that goal that they scored, I mean, that entire third period, besides that goal, was just a perfect like exhibition of shutdown hockey, right?
Yeah,
not a lot of chances on your end, but still controlled. Like, it's not like they were just like playing in their own end either. They were playing a lot of offensive zone hockey, just kind of keeping the puck away. And even, I think Eddie O even mentioned it. They were like playing keep away at one point.
Yeah.
That's how confident they were.
It was great.
Great.
It just gets me excited for the playoffs. Like, it needs to get here sooner.
Dude, we're in November. It's barely November.
I know.
We got to see, still early in the year, we got to see more of this, keep up the consistency. But I think we're on the verge of something special. In LA, I think in terms of the regular season, we'll see how it goes. But I think it's like we're seeing a very good hockey team and a very well coached hockey team right now. That's a team that's adapted to the system that they're running. That's how good that they're looking right now. So yeah. I think we're on the verge of something special.
Absolutely. Who's your like team MVP so far throughout the year?
Team MVP. Ooh, that's a good one. Dude, you can go so many ways with this. Oh, man. I think you'd probably have to go Kopitar, right? I mean, Mikey Anderson comes to mind. Drew Doughty comes to mind.
Is it not Talbot?
Oh, yeah, you could. You could go Talbot. Yeah, that's a good one. Is that what your team MVP is?
Probably. Him or, I mean, Juice isn't scoring as much as we expected, but he's leading the team. He's got in points. He's got 5 goals. Playing both sides of the ice, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that entire top line, let's just talk about that line. Like, you think it's one of the best first lines in hockey?
It's up there between the production, the back half of the ice playing defense, all 3 of them, the forecheck, the pressure, mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm.
Just you feel totally confident seeing them on the ice.
Oh, like absolutely. Right now.
You see that, you see 11 out there, you see 55, you see 9. Like, I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be fun.
Absolutely.
And this then, is going to be 45 seconds of fun for us and torture for the other team. That's what it was. It's like the thing with Quinn Byfield, too, is like his reach is just alone. Is just like an extra like feet or two, or extra couple of feet of forecheck ability. Like
yeah, absolutely. That
a couple of times. He'll just lead in with his stick. And sometimes I'd like to see him lead in with his body a little bit, but I understand why he's leading out there with a stick is because he's got that long reach to just disrupt.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's taking notes from Gavrikov on that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. That's a good person to take notes of.
Yeah, but Gavrikov
is a wall.
Even with that first line, like going out for a defensive faceoff, Kopitar gets thrown out of the circle via Byfield is a center naturally. He can. Mm-hmm. I trust him to take defensive faceoffs too.
Yep. I mean, you look at like that. That's something that I remember Daryl Sutter used to cherish is having that extra center on lines, that versatility, so you can win those. Like, let's say Kopitar, like you mentioned, Kopitar's out. I mean, same thing with like all the lines. That maybe not so much on the Dubois line, but even like Blake Lizotte, Trevor Lewis is there.
Yep.
Phil Deneau, Trevor Moore is there.
He's
seen Moore win faceoffs.
He's been winning plenty lately. I don't know mm-hmm. where that came from, but.
I don't take too much into faceoffs, but like to have that, like, I think there's more needs to be focused in terms of like the actual statistic. I would like to see more focused on like situational faceoffs, like maybe faceoffs in your own zone with like less than 2 minutes left. Like who's, what's the highest percentage of that person?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that would be a cool stat to know. It's like, who's winning those face-offs? One goal game, situational, like, where's the face-off being taken? I want to know who's winning the majority of those face-offs. I don't really care who's winning the opening draw. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But, like, you give me those more situational statistics, I think that'd be something a little bit more take into account.
Yeah, when it comes to the score, the time, or special teams, you're wanting to win power play or penalty kill face-offs.
Mm-hmm. I know they track face-offs on the power play. That would be something to look into too. Penalty kill face-offs. I mean, the penalty kill, right?
Both.
What? The penalty kill, but no, I mean, in terms of the Kings penalty kill, good, right?
Yeah, no, it looks fantastic again.
I mean, it's a contrast, stark contrast of last year.
Oh, I don't absolutely. Know.
Like, I'd love to try to, like, dive into film a little bit and try to see exactly what's changed. But it's, like, it almost just feels like a little bit more of, like, communication in terms of, like, the personnel on the ice. I know, every time there's a penalty on the Kings, the first two people on the ice for forwards are Blake Lizotte and Trevor Lewis. Every time.
Yep.
And it's, like, okay, I'm cool with that. And then you could either have Mikey Anderson and Drew Doughty or Gavrikov and Roy. Maybe that's the reason we're winning. We're killing a lot of penalties.
Yeah, and I think it helps. Like, I don't know if it's true, but I'm seeing it to where everyone on the kill is so much more active than last year. Nobody's standing around in one spot.
Mm-hmm. 100%. I think that was something I noticed actually on the first time they practiced it in the off season or the preseason is that pressure that we hadn't really seen a lot of It'd be like, okay, let's collapse and kind of take away the middle. But those, it would just like suffocate, and they'd just creep and creep and creep. And we saw that a lot against Edmonton. But now this pressure, I mean, because that's what a lot of these skins, that's what was so frustrating is watching this penalty kill last year, is because you have like the players that should be good at, in those situations. You have Trevor Moore, Phil Deneau, Blake Lizotte. You even had Alex Iafallo at the time last year.
Yeah.
And they just weren't good. So maybe a little bit more has to do with the system or the presence of Trevor Lewis and Blake Lizotte now playing together. But penalty kill's looking nice.
Is it the same special teams coaches last year? I know Jim Hiller's doing the power play still. Is it same PK coach?
Same coaches. Now? Same coaches. I think, I don't know if Trent Yanni is the one who does it, but same coaches. I think McClellan kind of spearheaded that a little bit, actually. He was the one who's kind of running those practices. I see Hiller running the power play, but McClellan is the one that's kind of running the penalty kill. So maybe he's taking a little bit more of an approach on that one.
Whatever they're doing, it's working.
It is working. I remember that was the number one thing that McClellan told the media at the end of the season last year, the exit interviews. He said, one of you's got to ask us about our penalty kill. You can tell that that was something that was just frustrating him probably all summer long. And he probably couldn't wait to get to work on that.
Yeah.
And it started to pay off.
He came out and asked that to the media?
Yeah, he said, one of you's got to ask me about the penalty kill at some point.
Wow.
Because, I mean, that's, you think about it, just that's what Edmonton killed them on. And it wasn't because, like, nobody was going to ask it. Like, I'm sure it was going to happen eventually, but it was, like, early on in the press conference. And he's, it was, like, coming out of his ears, the frustration of the penalty kill. He just had to talk about it.
Yeah,
but, man, this penalty kill is looking, the way it's looking now is looking pretty good.
Yeah, you can see the smoke coming out of his ears.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Jason, I'm going to hop over to a couple more people. I'm going to do two more. I'm going to get out of here.
Sounds good.
All right, bud. Have a good night.
You too.
Let's get it over to OC Steve. OC Steve, what's up, man? How you doing, buddy? What's going on?
It was kind of funny, dude. I was talking to my brother that lives up in NorCal as the game was going on, and we were just kind of chit-chatting back and forth, and he's like, man, we really need to see some play out of that Dubois guy. I haven't seen a lot of him, and then that's when he scores a goal and texts me right after we were done talking. I'm like, you know what? We need to talk about Dubois more then.
It's so funny because, like, obviously, like, I see the conversation. Like, I understand it. Like, we talked about Dubois earlier and his play of late, how you maybe you could want to see more. I don't think he's been bad, but just want to see a little bit more.
Just,
and I was thinking about that.
Just to spark up, man. Like, you know, like, he's there, and obviously, you know, Fiala's feeding him, but just, like, kind of the highlight reel that we've seen him from doing everything. Like, I was stoked on the whole fact that he is a center that uses his body and takes puck possession into the offensive zone.
We saw, and that's the thing, was we saw some of that tonight. We saw some of those plays where it's like, okay, he's in the corner and the puck is just not going to be taken away from him. We saw that. And you just, like, want to see more of that. But, like, it's so funny, like all that the conversation is starting to sprout up. And of course, the goal he scores is just him standing on the side and the puck just happens to come to him and he just taps it in. And it's like, oh, well, at least he's scoring. And it's like, okay, well, like, what, how much did he score? But I think we'll see better. I'm curious to see, like I said, I'm curious to see how he plays tomorrow at home.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it.
And we both live in Orange County, so we deal with a lot of chirping. I mean, I work for a family-owned company that they're all season ticket holders for the Ducks. So when they beat the Knights this last weekend, they were all shoving it in my face. to no end. And they're like, well, we hope you guys can get it done tonight, because we did.
The Ducks just grasp any sort or sense of, like, winning, and they just have to let the world know.
Yeah, you could just live here in Orange County minding your own business and you're just wearing a sweater because it's game day and there will be somebody, and I'm not even saying the OC Karen, like just somebody out of nowhere, like just spurts out of nowhere, like, oh, the Ducks are better. And you're like, I didn't even talk to you.
I think they're good. I don't think they're a playoff team. I think we'll see them be better this year. But I think a lot of their, like, if you look at a lot of their, underlying statistics, and I don't want to like delve too much into it because they're winning and it's the Ducks, obviously. But I think we'll see them come back into form a little bit.
It's just typical Duck behavior when they're on a run, and then I'm like, just wait for the other shoe to drop.
We'll see what happens.
Well, and that's how the broadcast was tonight, dude. Like all the NHL, the Kings have had an easy schedule. Like,
yeah, huh? I heard that too. I was like that. Like I looked up and I was like, what are you talking about? It frustrates me to no end. Because we're expected to beat these teams. Like, and it's not even the fact that they're beating them. They're beating them on the road off of like what four a game? What road trip? Speed, and they're 6-0 on the road, and they're not even just like squeaking by. They're dominating these teams. Dominated the Maple Leafs. Dominated the Senators. They got lucky with two goals. Absolutely destroyed the Flyers. And maybe that's not that funny anymore because they lost to the Sharks. But even tonight, like this, that's why I said this was a statement win, because you have those comments that are being made by national television analysts. But then they go in and they beat the Stanley Cup champs, almost shut them out in their own building for their second regulation loss, their first loss at home. Like, this is who the Kings are. They are a legitimate Stanley Cup team that should be considered one of the best teams in the NHL right now, if not the best team in the NHL right now.
But you know what, dude? On the flip side, like, go ahead. Underestimate us. That's where I let the other shoe drop. And I'm like, go ahead, dude. Underestimate the Kings, and then when we get far, then you have nothing to say.
I'm so fucking glad you said that, because it's so funny. I was at practice talking with Zach Dooley, and we were talking about, like, if you think about it, like, look at the entire Pacific Division. It's just on fire. The Oilers, the Flames, like, even like, oh, they're just terrible. And then you have the Canucks and the Ducks that are like winning games, and they're like, oh, they're the fun story. And then the Golden Knights were just on fire. The Kings were just doing their thing, just right in the middle. No, ho-hum, just getting the job done. Nobody really talking about them. And, like, me and Dooley were talking about that. It's like, they're just, like, a non-story right now, because, like, the fun stories in Anaheim, the fun stories of Vancouver, the fun,
yeah, but,
the really
but
funny
on the flip side of all of that, we're used to it, man.
100%. And that's the thing, is, like, even when the Kings won the Cup, no, they weren't a glamour team. They weren't the team, the shiny team.
And that's what my brother and I were talking about. It's just the way how we've restructured ourselves for this year is very reminiscent of the 2012 year. We're not
with more
just the attitude, the play, like the very small little piece that we've seen, sample size of what we've had of the season, is very vibe wise reminiscent of it. It's not going to be like a darling team. You're not going to see amazing goals. You're not going to see Connor McDavid level shit. But if we can get there, it's very reminiscent to what we built in 2012. And even my brother said, like, it's very reminiscent to what St. Louis did. Was it a good looking team? No, but they got the job done.
Dude, this is a team that's built very, very much like the team in 2012, defensively is built very like that. But this is a team that can also score. That team couldn't really score. This team can score. They're getting good goaltending. They're playing sound defensive hockey. And then they're scoring goals on top of it.
I mean, like, for the sample size that we've seen, the real thing that's going to be the test is, like, you know, Phoenix is going to go in tomorrow night. They can't burn Talbot out.
Yeah, that's the thing. So you agree that Phoenix Copley's going to start tomorrow. I think that's kind of a given, right?
Well, or he can't play him back-to-back with his age, and especially after coming back from Philly, giving him and Drew the day off day.
So,
you know,
it's kind of tough, because I don't want to say it feels like a big game for Copley tomorrow. It doesn't feel like it. It is a big game for Copley tomorrow, because you come off this high of beating the Stanley Cup champs on national TV. You go back home the next night, and the number one goaltender in Talbot has been just on fire, playing lights out. Team's been winning. The backup goalie, he knows it's his game tomorrow. They've told him. So he sees the win. He sees the locker room. Now they're going to turn to him. And this is going to be a big game for Copley to see if he can kind of show that, hey, I can be that reliable guy if you need to turn to give Talbs a rest. So I think that'll be the player.
I honestly think that this is a game that is a proving game for him. I agree with you that. And if he performs lights out tomorrow night, then he needs to play in Philadelphia because we really need to rest Talbot.
Just play him against the lesser competition. I don't mind that.
Actually, no, but I think that you need to have him play both games just for the fact it's like, dude, you at least got to carry 30 games, and you got out of those 30, we at least need you to win like 15 or 20 of them.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. But then you got to consider, I think after that game, they have a 4-day break. So yeah. I think you give Talbot that game and then you give him that break. So it's like, if you sit Talbot, I understand it because you're playing against Philly. Like, they seem pretty bad right now. But then 7 days off, it would be like almost, not 7 days, but like 6 days off from playing. Feels like a long time for a guy who's kind of in the zone right now, right?
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, that our Achilles heel right now is the other goalie. So
you want to try this to is him, right?
This is the time to figure it out early in the season and go and try to go sort Cal out and see if it's worth keeping on. Like, I don't want to discard the baby in the bathwater at the same time too, but it's like there's no point in sending him down to Ontario if we can give him these games to build up his confidence.
100%. I just think right now it's like almost like a surprise gift if Copley goes out there and performs well. I think you just kind of ride Talbot as much as you can. You don't give him the back-to-backs, obviously. You don't – maybe you kind of rest him if there's like a road trip and you get two maybe lesser teams. Who knows? But that's why I point to. Like, none of that – that conversation totally changes if Copley plays bad tomorrow. Then it's like, okay, now what? Now Talbot has to play every game?
We can't do that. And truth be told, man – I know we dominated in Philly, but Philly's coming in and they're going to have a chip on their shoulder, and I don't need them taking it out on Cam Talbot in the form of cheap Tortorella play, like taking runs at him.
That would be horrible.
Which,
hey, I'm gonna ask you a question. I'm going to move on to our last speaker. Who was your MVP tonight? Who was your first star?
It has to be Talbot in my mind. Dude, for what we paid for him, we're getting dividends already early out the gate.
Oh man, it's been
for $1 million. We're getting the third star of the week.
Second star of the week. 3-0-0 in a shutout. What is he? 4-0-0 now.
Yeah. So I mean, you can't complain for what we paid for the price point. He's playing like he has something to prove. That, you know, like a lot of people have written him off like a bad check, and it's easy with his age. But hey, man, if the guy has something to prove. He came here for a reason. He's putting his money where his mouth is, and he's performing, and he's already saved Phoenix one or if not twice now in a form of a game.
Dude, yeah, it's just diamond in the rough what Talbot has been. Yeah, he was.
And it's that locker room presence.
Was the number two star.
Yeah, dude, it's like quick.
They
like,
gave Carson a star. His fucking home.
Yeah. Riders. Whatever. But at the same point, it's like we lost a big locker room leader with trading Quick.
Yeah.
And I think Talbot can bring that, and he's doing it with helping out. Like, we don't need to have shutdown defensemen in front of him. We just need to make sure that he does his job and they do their job. It doesn't need to be anything phenomenal. It just needs to be sound all the way around.
100%. I mean, we don't need the shutdown defensemen, but... we're getting the shutdown defenseman.
Yeah, so I mean,
the defensive core is playing insane right now. Matt Roy just hushing away pucks, like Mikey Anderson just shooing them away like a fly. Like the way that they're just defending the blue line or even odd man rushes, it's like Cam Talbot. Like it's making his job easier, but Cam Talbot's also still performing and making those saves that. We just didn't see at the beginning of last year. We just never saw those saves being made. And
well, I think it goes down to it. Like I always joked with my wife, Quick had the demon eyes. Like you could tell when he was in the zone and he was just ready to play and he put it on and he delivered. Like Talbot has the same level of intensity. Mm-hmm. Like he's here to
win. He came to LA to win.
And he's 36. So this might be, in all honesty, his last shot at it.
Could be. All right, buddy. I'm going to move on to our last one, and then we're going to get out of here. But I appreciate you hopping on here, man.
Thanks, Russ. Always a good one.
Hey, let me know when you go to a game. Hit me up. Say what's up.
Ontario, probably.
Okay. I'll try to make it out there.
All right, dude. Bud.
All right, we're going to end it with Jacob. Dude, tonight was money. I'm excited for tomorrow night's game. I think it'll be a good one. I mean, what was the last?
Can you hear me, Russ?
Penguins game, Kempe had 4 goals. What's up, Jacob? How you doing, bud?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you for having me on for starters.
Yeah, man.
Want to say, firstly, Cam Talbot, what a great sort of stretch run he's had. Now, I'm fortunate enough, I actually live in Melbourne, Australia, so I got to watch him in that preseason game, the second one.
Hell yeah.
And he looks awesome, very, man. Very good.
Can I ask you?
Yep.
Can I ask you a question? How did you become a Kings fan?
Grandmother lives in SoCal, lives in the Valley. Okay. So, yeah, grew up a hockey fan, went to my first game in the 06-07 season. When I came out to visit my family. So, yeah, come out every couple of years, try and get a Kings game in when I'm there. And, yeah.
And look, dude, how stoked were you when you found out they were going to Melbourne?
It was a nuts experience. The entire week was bizarre. We even at a clothing store, we had the Cup and Kempe and Juice and Q did a couple of interviews with Anthony Carter. Out of that, I ended up getting a piece written, or I contributed to an NHL.com piece. So I ended up getting a photo done on that. So just that entire week, I got to see Robitaille again. I got to see Kelly Cheeseman as well, who I caught up with at a event, a pre-game event, and just with open practice. It was just I think the greatest thing as well, not just for Kings fans, but for hockey fans, was just showing the hockey market to Australia. It's nuts. You were getting 13,000 people for both games. You get about 2,500 to 3,000 people for a local hockey game during the finals weekend. It was just really nice to show that on an international stage. So it's really good.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool. I hadn't yet to actually talk to there. I know some other Kings fans that follow me from Australia, but that's really cool. Did you get to meet any of the players?
Yeah, so I met Q and Juice at this clothing store where they were literally doing like a couple Q&As as part of sort of the media tour that NHL put out. Other than that, it was mostly media personnel, as I said, Nick Kostanica from NHL.com. I did run into Foxy and Nick because the broadcast crew were actually they were on the level one floor where the entrance was to the stands. So they were just kind of talking amongst the fans. That was just how it was set up. So it was quite cool to see. And obviously, as a quick insider, I'm also a Collingwood supporter. So having all those guys wearing their Collingwood scarves going to the Aussie rules the night before was a nice little touch as well. So it's just cool for them to see, to see them take it in.
That's awesome, man. I mean, even like it seemed like that. I mean, I'd be lying to you if I knew anything about Aussie rules football or even like all that down there. But it seemed like I wanted to get into it. Like that stadium was like packed.
Yeah, 95,000 people with a one-point game. And what a lot of people won't know, as you could probably guess with the scoring, it's quite a high-scoring or a very often-scoring game.
Yeah.
No one scored for the final 8.5 minutes. So we're all just sitting there with a one-point lead, trying to not die. Just going, please, just hold off. Just please hold on.
That's awesome.
But no, it was great to see the team game one and two. And I think onto a couple others points before. I think we are kind of waiting for a Phoenix Copley breakout or a Phoenix Copley calm the fan base sort of game. He didn't look too good in that preseason game either, bar the Logan Cooley just dances everybody goal. He gave up.
I mean, that goal was insane.
Yeah, but that the first one that he gave up, which if I'm not mistaken, was Keller hitting it off his pad and off the post. We've seen a couple of times him just not getting across, I guess, quick enough. And his angles have been a bit off to begin with. So it'd just be really good to see that. But Cam's been phenomenal. Cam's just been phenomenal to watch this past, I guess, week and a half now.
Just confident, right? Just feel so good with Talbot in there at this point. Like, it's not even like, I don't know what's going to happen with our goaltending right now. I'm just like, hey, if Talbot's starting, let's roll.
If you could ride him 50, 55 games, fantastic. If you can give him that sort of he's definitely going to be 1A. The question is, we want to obviously limit him from what he had that Oilers year. They made the playoffs, which I believe was 62 games he played that year. And you saw it at the end, he ended up getting burnt out by the time he got to, you know, the later ends of round two. So if you could, so if we could get, obviously, Copley tomorrow, and I do assume, well, you'd have to assume he'll probably get the start against Philly as well, I'd say. Phoenix gets probably another run there. You'd like to see two or That'll three good games out of that. I guess the biggest question I've got, because there's been a lot of talks about what happens when RV comes back into the lineup, whenever that will be. Uh-huh. I personally have found Lefario to be very good. Yeah, the rookie mistakes are there, but I find him to be contributing on that third line, or at least being a presence. Is this now raising questions of, do we need to see more out of Kaliev 5-on-5? Because I notice Kaliev every time on the power play. But when it comes to 5-on-5, I noticed Deneau, I noticed Trevor Moore, and then who's the third guy that I always somehow forget? And it just seems to be very, I don't know if he's not clicking or if maybe moving him back with Fiala and Dubois will be a better solution, but I just want to know what your take on that is, because I found him to be quite lackluster at 5-on-5.
You know what's weird, though, is I actually think he's been pretty good. And at 5-on-5, and the reason I think he's been pretty good is that the previous Arthur Kaliev we've seen earlier in his career, these last few years, he just wasn't good at all at 5-on-5. Yeah. That was kind of his worst part of his game. He just couldn't put it together. He couldn't keep up. His pace wasn't there. His like assertiveness, his confidence just wasn't there 5-on-5. And we saw that a lot toward the end of last year. But I think he's been up. I think he's upped his game. And that was a big question I had for Kaliev coming this year. And I asked McClellan about it. And he just kept talking about how they asked a lot of Arthur Kaliev over the summer. And I think we're seeing a lot of that kind of come into fruition this year. And maybe the reason why you don't really notice him as much is because just Deneau and Trevor Moore are just fucking insane right now. Like the way they're playing, they're just doing whatever they want. And it's like, and maybe Kaliev just really can't keep up with them just because they're just buzzing on the ice every time they're on there. But I think Artie's been pretty good. I think he had that one kind of forced turnover at the blue line with Stone. Just he was just kind of at the end of a shift, caused a 2-on-1, had a nice shot. It is what it is. Mm. But I think he's been playing pretty good.
Yeah, and I think we can say at least, very least, if we're not hearing about him, it's not because he's doing anything wrong in the defensive zone. So at least you take that positive out of that, because you do want. You're going to be on a line with Phil Deneau. You're going to be playing a more defensive-minded style of hockey. And again, if you've got Trevor Moore, just pass the puck up that wing and let him skate the puck in and just be there as a support, either an F2 or an F3, just be there for a rebound or be there for an open one-timer, which we've seen on the power plays still working. That one-timer is still there.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's much of an issue. But I've got to say, as an Australian, even though I won't say we claim him as our own, watching Jordan Spence today, that was a coming out party. That was a coming out party.
Dude.
It was.
His shot, at least. That was letting the world know about his shot. Because even Eddie Olczyk was talking about, like, dude, this guy's got a shot, and we're seeing it.
Because
there was those couple penalties, those first couple assists that he had, just based off his shot from the point.
Absolutely. And I remember after about games, I think it was very early in the season, I think it was after the Boston game, I immediately wrote to our group chat of hockey fans amongst our hockey club going, get rid of this bottom pair and give me Brad Clarke. Dump this pair in the trash because it was just looking awful. And that was, again, taking into consideration this was the Boston Bruins and they've had a phenomenal start on to their own right. But since that game, since going on the road, but even England's had a good time. Even England's been playing well. He got that goal in Toronto. But again, just the breakout passes have been taped that he hasn't just been chucking them willy-nilly into the middle of the slot like I think he did one game. I think it was a Carolina game very early on, just middle of nowhere. And it's just really stabilized this defensive core. And one thing TNT didn't mention, and it's been brought up more and more nationally, and you see it on a few podcasts, Mikey Anderson allowing Drew Doughty to go back to that offensive role. Rushing the puck.
Yeah.
He's just been a stellar anchor. Stellar anchor, and it's just been good to watch.
Dude, Mikey Anderson, he's him.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Some of the plays he was making tonight, like, it was, like, perfect because they were praising him, and then he'd, like, show off, like, right after that. So, like, be like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, there's a reason why they're saying that. And I think I retweeted, I think it was one of the guys from EP Ringside, I believe, who talked about like how nationally, like Mikey Anderson isn't recognized for how really good he is and how much of it, like you mentioned, that anchor for Drew Doughty to kind of be what Drew Doughty was good at too back in the day. I mean, Drew Doughty's been playing with all these bad teams during the rebuild, and he's kind of had to focus on defense a lot more. But now that he has that anchor, that defensive partner, Mikey Anderson, I mean, Drew Doughty can kind of unlock on that part of his game again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, and also just real quick on that third pair, it's so weird too. I mean, I think you hit it right on the head. Like, their play of late has been so good that it was, obviously it was frustrating at first, and it was kind of weird that McClellan was switching them a lot. We noticed like Englund would play with Moore and Spence would play Gavrikov at certain points of the game. But like lately they've been just together, Spence and Englund, and they both look solid. I think Englund at times, like even when he's out there, like he's not getting a ton of minutes, but I feel pretty good with him out there playing with Spence.
I think it's just this lineup has opened itself up to, you can put anyone out in 90% of situations. You've got four lines rolling. You've got 3D doing their job. Cam has been a rock. The biggest question mark, as we keep going back to, is just backup goalie. And the question then becomes now, I've seen enough of the Ontario Reign recently to go, okay, they're doing all right. But do you really want to then have to do the mess around at backup and see how that affects the team? Now, again, we're talking about, if Phoenix comes out, wins tomorrow, let's say he gets the start against Philly, wins that, looks good doing it. Let's say he gives up somewhere under 3 goals each, so maybe a 3-goal and a 2-goal game somewhere there. This conversation goes away. We're not talking about this. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be interesting because Pittsburgh obviously coming off that complete and utter ass-kicking of the San Jose Sharks.
And then they just beat the Ducks.
So you've got to ask yourself, this team, Pittsburgh can score. What Pittsburgh don't have is any good defensive metrics and goal and iffy goaltending, aka things we were worried about at the start of the season. So my question now becomes, you've already seen that fourth line do well. Do you just try and roll even lines tomorrow? Don't try and line match. You know, Crosby's going to try Crosby things. Malkin's going to do Malkin.
Interesting.
Do you just roll out those four lines? Because the fourth line's been doing well enough that I'm like, yeah, I trust them. Those guys could go at him, go nuts.
Yep. No, I think one thing I'd like to see in terms of the line matchups tomorrow, the only thing I'd really like to see is I'd like to see maybe the Dubois line just get an easy matchup tomorrow. I'm not saying like they need that, but I think at this point, I just want to see him get going. I think if you can just figure out how to get that line going, man, I mean, this team is unstoppable, as more unstoppable as they are even right now at this point. I mean, I'm looking at the shots on goal. I mean, you go into the third period against the Golden Knights, it's 2-0, and then you score with 2 minutes into the third, so it's 3-0, but you still hold the Golden Knights to only 8. So you outshoot them in the third period, 10-8. It's a team it's not like they're sitting back. They're still just like, hey, we got to keep going. Let's keep the pressure up. And it was just this odd, kind of random, like odd man miscommunication rush that the Golden Knights scored on. But then they still didn't lay it up. They'll just still keep coming and coming and coming. And dude, that's just how good this team is right now.
And even with that third line, you look at how teams are covering them and they go, well, Pierre Dubois on the ice, we better, you know, concentrate on the big guy who's the net front presence. And all of a sudden, while I think Kaliev, he's still played well, but I think he's just lacking more of the offensive player that I think he had last year. Maybe that lends itself to, Laferriere, in the offensive zone sometimes goes lacking. I find it very good on the rush. Every time you see Dubois at the low slot or at the top of the crease, Fiala's just alone by himself, high slot, getting just shot on after shot on after shot on. One's going to go in eventually. Like, he's got a 12-game assist streak. I won't say he's having a bad time, but I think that low, I guess, shooting percentage or conversion percentage from shots into goals is going to end up going back the other way because he's just been so effective. Once the puck is in the offensive zone, I just think that's going to break eventually.
The same thing I'd been thinking about Kempe, like the first couple of games of the season, and we're starting to see him kind of slowly break out a little bit now, just get his season going. I think we're going to see a game like that from Fiala here soon. And it's like so weird to say because, like you mentioned, he's like almost like tied or second on the team in points. But I think we'll see that line kind of have a pretty good game here soon. Maybe the Philly game or the game tomorrow. But just to kind of, I'm going to sign off here. I'm gonna get you out of here, and then I'm going to go ahead and sign off for the night. But what? Give me a prediction for the score tomorrow, for the game tomorrow. What do you think?
I think it's going to be 5-2, and I have a funny feeling, knowing what the game plan is going to try and be, it's going to be try and come out early, score a couple goals, and then probably give up one or two, probably towards the end of the game when you're starting to get a bit tired and, you know, score effects will happen. So I think we're going to see a 5-2 game, but I'm going to say 2 goals in the first period as well.
I actually 100% agree with you. I think they come out flying. I think they come off this high and kind of get the ball rolling. I would say maybe like an early 3-goal lead. You kind of ride that. Maybe Pittsburgh gets back into it, and then they just kind of shut it down and make it like 5-4, 4-1, something like that.
Interesting note to that game as well. Jeff Carter being a healthy scratch, I believe, the last game. Does he make this lineup knowing that he'd been obviously won 2 cups here? Does Sully put him back in and go, well, we'll see what we can get out of him?
I don't know. They've been winning without him. I think they kind of roll with the lineup they have. But man, dude, what time is it in Melbourne right now?
It is right now 12 past 6 p.m. So afternoon games are great. Afternoon or late 7 p.m. games are 2 p.m. Melbourne time. And even better on the East Coast, it's a 10 o'clock in the morning game. So usually getting up for work or getting ready for work.
That's wild. So
it's pretty good here, actually.
For yeah, game times. The time difference kind of works out. I have a colleague in Joe that lives in Buffalo on the East Coast of the U.S. over here, and he's 3 hours behind us. So, I mean, he's talking about staying up to like 1 a.m. to watch the game for him, which is kind of tough. But, I mean, it's 11 p.m. I'm probably going to hit the bed soon. Sounds like you're getting ready for dinner.
Yeah, no, I'm actually just hilarious. I'm actually just on my break at work at the moment, so just had to jump on while I quickly got back, but back to work in short order.
Hey, buddy, hey, I love it that you follow from Australia. I want to hear you back in here a couple more times. But yeah, let's this season's gonna be fun. I love it. I appreciate you hopping on here, man.
Nah, thanks, Russ. Thanks for having me on, and yeah, look forward to the remainder of the season. We're looking pretty good to start with. Let's just keep the ball rolling.
Yes, sir, bud. Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Guys, oh, tonight was fun. This was a fun night. This is kind of like we wanted the NHL world to know, right? That like the Kings are for real. See if they can keep it going tomorrow. I'm excited. I think we'll have some more fun tomorrow. But big game for Copley. That's the player to watch, right? I think we're all expecting Copley to start, so it'll be see how he performs. I'm going to sign off on here. This was awesome. Met some cool people. But yeah, appreciate you guys all hopping on here. Let's get a W tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
This space was downloaded via spacesdown.com. Visit to download your spaces today.